a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody, welcome on in. It's Unrivaled 97.5 KSL Sports Zone. Happy Tuesday to you. Thanks for being with us. Scott Mitchell, what's up, man?
Well, it's Taco Tuesday.
Oh, it is. Do you actually do that? Actually do
I do tacos
Tuesday?
On Tuesday? Nah.
I mean,
from time to time, it's not.
What was the number one? What was the number one meal that you had at your house that, like, you probably complained about to your mom, like, again, meatloaf again, mom, pot roast again, mom? What was the thing that you guys seemed like? Like,
okay,
it was the fallback.
You're
meal.
Asking the wrong person.
Yeah, because your mom was a good cook.
My mother was not. No, she wasn't a good cook. She was an amazing cook, and she loved. She cooked everything.
Variety.
From scratch, a lot of variety. I will say, there's a lot of noise over there.
Sorry, buddy. I got to.
You sound like you're in your.
Let me get my puffy coat off.
You sound like you're in a sleeping bag over there.
Let me get my puffy coat off.
Throw me off a little bit here.
Hold on. Let me get my puffy coat off.
Get your puffy coat off.
All right.
Sit down. We're going to be here for a couple hours. Get comfortable, everybody.
Now I got my silent shirt on. No, I just have no shirt.
No, she. Okay. Here's the thing my mother made that drove me nuts.
Oh.
There was one thing.
What was it?
It's called succotash.
Okay.
Now, succotash is a combination of a whole lot of vegetables.
Oh, okay.
Like corn and peas and some other
green
things.
Green beans, probably.
And all of my sisters and myself hated it.
The only time
And my mom would make us sit at the dinner table, you're not leaving. And it wasn't try it. It was finish it.
You better eat it.
Now, we never had a problem finishing. My mother used to make home this chicken cordon bleu. She was Julia Child. Serious. She was amazing.
I used to remember suffering succotash. Remember?
Yes.
Remember us?
No. We suffered. We suffered. And my middle sister, she dug her heels in one day, and she sat at that dinner table.
And I'm not doing it.
All Sunday. So we had Sunday dinner, and it's just like, no.
So the fallback in my house when I was a kid was tacos. It was just like, mom was like, hey, and we're going tacos again. But you know what? The number one fallback meal now
in my house,
I bust it out. I go, we're doing tacos. I got beef. I got tortillas.
Are they those hard? Because it was
like
always
both.
The hard shell.
They like both, but I'm a soft shell guy.
Soft shell when I was growing up.
So I'm a soft shell guy. And so my kids are like, they like tacos, but they're like, so are we really doing tacos again? This is like the second time this week. I'm like, it's Taco Monday, it's Taco Thursday. Like, we're doing all of it. We're going to keep going. But at some point, they're going to start hating it. And I've seen my older ones already be like, I'm not doing the tacos again. Spoilt brats, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lots of spoiled people.
There probably was a meal that my mom would pull out from time to time, and we're just like, why? Why this one?
My mom used to make one that we dreaded because my dad hated it. When he would go on business trips, my mom would make it. It was called hamburger gravy. And it was just like a white gravy that had hamburger in it, and you just put it on like toast. And I'd be like, this is We were all looking at it going, this is
okay,
garbage.
She would make these Salisbury steaks from time to time.
And you hated them?
Well, yeah, I'm not a Salisbury steak person.
Because what is that? It's like a cruddy piece of meat in like a gravy, right?
And they claim that they've tenderized it to death, you know, and it's like,
tough as heck.
It still doesn't cut well. It doesn't chew well.
Yeah, you got to get rid of that.
Any meal where I have to work out to eat it is not a good meal.
Any meal that like they go, this transfers easy into a TV dinner. Like you don't have prime rib TV dinners. You have suffer and succotash, and you have Salisbury steak.
That's just a kiss of death.
Like a goo.
And some mashed potatoes.
Those are just really bad
mashed potatoes, right, too.
Let's kick off the show. We got lots to chat about today. Hey, Jazz lose a basketball game. Nice job. We got four in a row now.
Shocker.
We're into a nice little groove here with this Jazz team. Let's jump into the cut right here at top of the show, and let's start everything right here.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by G2G Bars. As always, our show presented by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. They do not skimp on high quality ingredients like you see some other bars do. This is a chunk of awesome. That's what you're going to get with a G2G bar. Quick, tasty, and nutritious all at the same time with a giant pack of protein with it. All right. Refrigerated sections at Costco, Holiday Oil, Maverick, and Associated Foods.
Plus,
Trajan Wealth, trusted local financial fiduciary, 801-899-7600, or their website, TrajanWealth.com. Jazz lose their fourth in a row last night. And I love the fight from this team. At least from Lauri Markkanen and Walker Kessler last night. Walker Kessler's finding a little bit of a groove here.
He's kind of – his game elevated to a new level.
And I know it's just two games recently.
Sure.
But I think that they're asking more of him. I think he's
– Well, and they're figuring out how to get him the ball more.
And I think he is more confident going to the hoop. Yeah. I think he – the athleticism is insane from this big guy.
Yeah.
Like how it there's is. Like there it are is. One or two times a game where people are shocked that he makes that trip down the court 94 feet and beats everybody down there. He's on defense, then he's right there underneath the hoop again immediately. It's not this clunky, heavy-footed center that, you know, I'm not trying to dig at Rudy Gobert because he worked his butt off to be up and down that floor.
Right.
What I'm saying is that there's something different there. You don't see 7-footers move like Walker Kessler. He's got those big soft feet, man. He is so good, and that's what I love about – and they lost the game last night, which is what I'm fine with. 35-40 now. They're a couple games out of the 10th spot playing in.
Let me give you a couple of names that might help you understand. Okay?
What?
Damian Jones.
Mm.
Udoka
Azubuike.
No.
Oh.
You've got Juan Toscano-Anderson.
Okay.
And Johnny Juzang.
Johnny Juzang.
Juzang. Juzang.
Yeah. You call him Juzang.
Well, Juzang because he's janging it off of the rim. He's janging. Dang. So we don't know who they are, and they don't know who they are when they're out there playing together.
Danny Ainge knows who they are, though.
It's a lot of names flying out around there. And it goes back to kind of what I've said before. How do you keep changing these rotations and these lineups and just go, oh, yeah, go play well together and score, and maybe you can do it against teams that are struggling, but you're not going to beat a good team. You know, and the Phoenix Suns are a good team.
Yeah,
it's just really hard.
DeAndre Ayton
the Jazz
came back.
Have a tough schedule, and with these 10-day contract players and a lot of guys that haven't played a lot together, it's a tough ask. It's a really tough ask if you're expecting to win, and try to make it into that 10 spot. That's a tough ask for the Utah Jazz.
So, I know I'm going to kill this.
Kill what?
Luka Samanić. That sound right? That sounds right. 10-day contract with the Jazz. Welcome.
Another name.
Utah Jazz. Another name. Throw it in there.
Another name.
Trying to figure this thing out, man.
Get your roster out.
Gets a 10-day deal. See what he's about with this team, right? This is a guy that not a lot of folks know a ton about.
But they have to do this, right? They have to have so many guys on the roster. I mean, they got to...
Yeah, he was waived by the Spurs last year, but he's one of these G League guys. He's 23 years old. He's averaging 20 and 10 in the 20 and 11 in the What is the Showcase Cup games? I mean, he's in the G League, but he's at, but he's also, yeah, he's about 20, he's about 22 points a game, and he only plays 29 minutes, so he's a scorer. I don't know exactly what you're going to get from this guy, because we've seen 10-day contracts that they don't even put a guy in the game, and we've seen 10-day contracts who, you know, roll up and pull a, you know, you start looking at guys like Chris Dunn, and you wonder where he sits in all of this. So let's play a little game here. Scott, you ready?
I'm ready. I'm always ready.
Okay, so Jazz, and by the way, you had two of the three, or you at least had, you had all the requirements of what I want out of this Jazz team the rest of the year last night. Markkanen scoring, right? He was the leading scorer of the team last night, and he was back. You know, to his credit, and I think to Will Hardy's credit, we just assumed, look, you don't need to put this guy in the rest of the year, so don't. But there's no version of that, I think, that the Jazz like. I think they want to have and keep developing Lauri Markkanen. And so I love that he went back. I love that he came back and started playing.
He's tough. Yep.
And he's really good. And he is just developing into this marquee player for this Jazz team. What's he going to look like next year? Don't know. What's the roster going to look like next year? Don't know. So let's play a little game called Play, Trade, or Cut.
So we are Danny Ainge. Yes. And we're the general manager.
So guys that we want to see playing next year, or guys we want to see traded, you think could be worth a trade, and guys are going to. So let me go through. And let's talk about some of the guys who are going to be on this roster for next year. Okay?
Right, let's do it.
So let's go through first. Lauri Markkanen.
We want him on the roster or no? So it's play trade, or cut.
That's right. What's that noise?
That's my Steve Spurrier.
You're going to keep Lauri Markkanen.
Heck yes. Like he's my five-star guy.
Okay? Walker Kessler.
I'm going to build a franchise. Well, I don't know that he's the franchise guy, but man, he's a massive
Why
part
not
of
though?
Walker Kessler?
No. Let's go back to this though. Why can't Lauri Markkanen be a franchise guy? Because everybody goes, "Yeah, he's awesome, but you want to get a superstar on top of that."
Okay, let's take a Kevin Durant, who's about the same height, right? 7-footer. Very efficient ball handler, can score from the outside, from the inside.
Sure,
has that mid-range shot. But you know what Kevin Durant has? He has the ability to get a good shot anytime he wants. That to me is what a superstar player is. They get a great shot anytime they want, and I'm still not convinced that Lauri Markkanen is that guy.
He can shoot from anywhere on the court.
He's
but
working
about,
on it, but it's yeah, like yeah. Kevin Durant off the dribble can get and
he creates anything.
He can create because he can elevate and get a shot and get a good look anytime he wants. And I'm not sure. I know that you can see that the Jazz are pushing Lauri into that move, right? You can see that he's trying to be aggressive and attack the basket and try to. But if you were to say. Is he a guy that can find a shot anytime he wants and win one at the end of the game on a shot that he's created? I'm not convinced that he can quite do that yet. And that's what I would want to see from him in this future. So is he the guy that you're hanging your franchise on and you're building around? He's certainly a Scottie Pippen piece.
Oh, my, come on.
Well, you know, he's a Robin, maybe, to Batman. Batman is. We just got to.
See, I think we get
Danny
two.
Danny Ainge just got to get on the bat phone.
I think
send out the signal. You got to bring Batman in here.
See, and I disagree
okay, fine,
a little
it's
bit with
Superman.
It.
Superman.
I know. I disagree a little bit with it because I think that when you see Lauri Markkanen and you go, this guy's been insanely good. He is an all-star now. He jumped in and he could be a. Not just a piece, he could be that lead piece.
Scottie Pippen was one of the top 50 players of all time. John Stockton and Karl Malone were you got to have two. I'm saying he's one of two. I'm not saying
why can't he be the Karl Malone of that group?
Because I think you have to have a guy that can. I don't know that he's that superstar player.
All right.
I think he's really don't get. I think you misunderstand.
Well, you just threw him. He's listening right now, and then you went, "Hey, he's like Robin. He's going to be great. He's like Scottie Pippen." You just basically that's almost an insult
okay,
at this point.
They're called the dynamic duo. It's not like one is really good and the other one isn't. They're both dynamic.
Yeah, but Robin was always laughed at a little bit, right?
And maybe Robin isn't the best example because he's a little bit, you know. come on, you're not in the same category as Batman.
You know? I know. That's like so far off. The kid wonder. Come on. It's not. That's not what you want.
Is he the Wonder Kid or the Wonder Kid?
I think they call him the Kid Wonder. All right, so fine. Well, I don't know why we spend so much time on Larry Marketing.
He's called the Boy Wonder.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's insulting.
Well,
again,
that was back in the day when you just had, you know, the...
Gee, Batman. Like, that's the thing. I look at Robin, that's an insult.
Well, it's not gee. It's gee whiz, Batman.
Suffering succotash, Batman. Leaping lizards. Like, he...
Golly gee.
He did. He always had like a...
I know, he had to... It was relating to the young crowd.
Yeah,
come
yes,
on.
I get it. Okay, that I don't know why I spent so much time on Lowry. Well, you know what Lowry's situation is.
Because it's important.
Because I thought you were offensive right there.
Hey, I'm saying play the guy. I'm not
Walker
saying trade
Kessler.
Him. I'm not
play, trade, or cut.
Play.
Okay.
Come on. I'm just telling...
I'm going to get to these...
But Walker Kessler, to me, it just gets so exciting. Really, I mean, you're seeing... In year one, even a significant elevation from the beginning of the season.
Okay. Let's go to
number three.
Let's go to number three. Now it's going to start getting more difficult from here. Jordan Clarkson.
Trade.
So you see value coming back for Jordan Clarkson. See, and I play Jordan Clarkson. I think he is still an integral part of this team. And maybe that means him going back to that sixth man role. Can you? Can you go back to a sixth-man role if they get somebody? They have to. It's been part of the success of this Jazz team is having a guy come off the bench who might be who actually is more electric than maybe some of the guys you had on the court initially and bring something else. So I keep Jordan Clarkson, and I know that he might be worth something in the trade. In the trade mills, but I don't think that. I prefer to have Jordan Clarkson, who seems like not just a Jazz guy, but is also a creator, man. He can absolutely do it.
Okay, here's my challenge with Jordan Clarkson. And what I like about him, I'm going to say trade.
Okay.
What the challenge for me with him is he's a guy that he's streaky. And there's times when, man, it's, you know, it... And believe me, I'm going to keep him. I changed my mind.
Okay, hold on. We got to go quick here.
And here's the reason I changed my mind. Really simple. He's an extremely versatile player. Extremely versatile and very talented. So there, he can fit in a lot of different roles.
Okay. Udoka Zabuke.
Cut.
Ochai Agbaji.
Play.
I think you keep him too. I'm getting a little greedy here with the guys you already have.
I just want to see where he can, because he's shown an ability to score and he's shown an ability to defend.
Rudy Gay.
Cut.
THT Talen Horton Tucker. he might have actually gotten. I mean, there's this thing between play or trade for me, because I do think he brought some extra value. He is more valuable now than he was when he left the Lakers.
1,000%.
And so I think that might be a
nice
piece.
Okay, here's the question. Has he improved significantly from a year ago?
From the beginning of the year.
Like, do you see there's something See, I'm having a hard time with him and I'm having a hard No, I'm not.
Okay.
I say play. I actually say play.
Here's why I say trade. Because this team is contingent on good three-point shooting, and he is a career 27% three-point shooter.
Yeah.
He's been 27% for his career. He's been 27% this year. And he's got a lot. I mean, he scores almost 10 points a game in his career also, but he's been asked to do a lot in the last 10 games, and he's scored 17 a game in the last 10. Okay. Chris Dunn.
Keep. Play.
Okay. That was pretty quick for you.
I think he's the best defender on the Utah Jazz.
Do you think he's a second-unit guy, maybe?
Possibly, yeah. I think he's a second-unit point guard.
And he hangs out with Jordan Clarkson, maybe? Or Ochai Agbaji, maybe?
Maybe. Okay. Yeah. I think they're defensive-minded guys that can be they can find offense, though.
Yeah, but... What about Colin Sexton?
He's pretty good.
He's really good. You talk about a scorer, man.
I say keep him.
Keep?
Yeah.
Keep Colin Sexton.
Yep.
He's definitely He's got an upside, man. His career, yeah. He's almost a 20-point guy a game for his career.
Ochai could be a second-unit guy. Maybe Jordan Clarkson comes into that second unit. Maybe you find a guy through free agency or the draft that becomes your Batman guy. Or maybe, you know.
You're sticking with the Batman thing, huh?
Yeah. But, still, yeah.
But because that is inherently offensive because Lauri Markkanen is then Robin. A 7-foot Robin. Okay. Kelly Olynyk, speaking of tall guys.
He's a tough one. I'm going to say trade.
Okay. Juan Toscano
Anderson.
What are
you going to say?
No, I think you trade Kelly Olynyk.
No. Cut.
Although I don't know,
Kelly's a journeyman NBA player.
And he'll continue it. And that journey.
He's been around a long time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know. I mean, you love the guy, but yeah.
So you cut Juan Toscano Anderson.
Yes.
Damian Jones.
Cut.
Johnny Juzang.
Cut.
This is a tough one. Simone Fontecchio.
I say you keep. I say you play.
I think for us, play is
a rotational player, right? It's not a starter.
I see him. He has increased his value. Danny Ainge got exactly probably what he wanted out of this guy, and he's in a package deal. I say trade.
You trade him?
Yep. I think he's going to be a part of a package deal, and I say you trade that guy.
All right.
If you're talking about trying to get the guy who's going to – you need to package something crazy together if you're going to get – it's the kind of thing where you get maybe a couple of first-round draft picks and then like a whole handful of players from this Jazz roster right now to be able to get that one singular – insane superstar, if that's something that's in the cards for Danny Ainge right now.
So, do you feel Olynyk, like I would say, would be a trade guy then? He's not a cut guy.
Who?
Olynyk's a trade guy to me.
No, I thought you said cut about Juan Toscano Anderson. No. Yeah. Kelly Olynyk's in the trade category.
He's a trade guy.
Yeah. You either keep him or you trade him. You don't cut that dude.
Yeah, I'm on the fence with Fontecchio, trade or play. Okay. I just think he's got skills.
He's shown something, and he's definitely – all these guys have gotten an opportunity.
Is that everybody?
Yeah, there's – I mean, I think that you look at some of these guys and you say Micah Potter. Come on. Gonzo. Luka Samanic, the guy they just signed for 10 days. Right? Yeah, I think we – Damian Jones, didn't we already say him? Yeah.
Cut.
So, so there you go. Those are all the guys. There's your roster. We've cut some, we've played some, we've traded some.
Yeah.
I think we've made some good progress here.
I think we would be very good in front office.
All right. This is a fun one for us. We've had him on for a couple of weeks here. And if you're looking for that employee retention credit, the ERC refund, Jeff Donovan is going to help you get that ERC refund. And
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Talking about a limited time, because this money will run out at some point. But, Jeff, you've been helping people recoup this ERC money from those times during COVID for business owners who, you know, lost some revenue. They lost some contracts maybe with people who they were doing business with. All of these things, and maybe you didn't qualify before, you can still probably help people out who are looking for that ERC refund, right?
Yes. Thank you, Alex and Scott. Nice to talk to you guys. Yes, I can still help those businesses. If you're an employer and you have 10 to 500 employees, and your tax professional and others have told you that you don't qualify because your revenue reduction wasn't great enough, you're in good luck, because if you have a supply chain disruption, you have products that you buy that you couldn't get during COVID due to supply chain disruptions nationwide, or your business was, your end users, their business was shut down, or maybe you had trade shows that you couldn't get to. All of these different ways are ways to qualify for the employee retention credit, and I can help you today.
So these are all kinds of businesses. It's potentially churches, charter schools, nonprofits. It's anybody who has at least W-2 full-time employees, and you can receive up to $26,000 per employee. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And just a clarification, it's W-2 employees can't be the owners or their families. So it's usually about 5 or 10 employees or more, up to 500. And it can be, I mean, I've been helping manufacturers, distributors, retailers, garage door companies, appliance companies. I've been helping hotels, hospitality, reception centers, restaurants, retail stores, security companies, technology companies. I can help just about any organization. Well, I think they can qualify.
Yeah, and I think, Jeff, the good thing is just finding out, just asking the question, right? So if people want to ask the question and say, hey, maybe we do qualify. If you're listening right now and you want to give Jeff a call, Jeff, what number do they have to dial up to be able to get you then?
Give me a call at 801-895-3777. And if I don't answer, leave me a message. I'll personally call you back within one business day.
Jeff is going to help you out. You can get your ERC refund, and Jeff Donovan will help you recoup that. So many other people have done it, and you can find out. Just ask the question. Say, do we qualify? Maybe you didn't qualify before. 801-895-3777. That's 801-895-3777, and you can find out if you qualify for those ERC refunds. Jeff, we'll talk to you in a little bit. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you, Alex.
There you go. There's Jeff Donovan. 801-895-3777. That ERC refund. Okay. Let's take a break. When we come back, we've got more to chat about. We've got a lot to get into. So let's just, we'll come back around the corner and have this discussion. How about this? An early ranking of Pac-12 coaches is out. Where does Kyle Whittingham sit? Where should he sit on that list? Stay with us, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Final Four coming up this weekend. I'm excited. Down in Houston, you're going to have a national champ that you've never seen before. Unless UConn, But again, I think this is a totally different. To UConn's credit, this is post Jim Calhoun. They have fought all the way back from, you know, having a historic coach lead them to a bunch of Final Fours and some national championships. And I think they've done a tremendous job. So this isn't like your same old UConn. It's tremendous to see these guys, this group. I want to see a weird national champion, though. I want to see an FAU. I want to see a San Diego State. I'm even okay with a Miami. I want to see somebody who's never been there. Either way, we'll see what goes on. Scott, we're looking at this list. I want to just go through this. And Scott's frustrated. Well, or he's just flabbergasted a little bit here. If you were to rank the Pac-12 coaches top to bottom, I think that you can look and say and make a case every time that Kyle Whittingham should be the Pac-12 coach of the year, right? That he should be, I mean, not coach of the year, the best coach in the Pac-12. And Kyle Whittingham, aside from doing what he does at Utah, I think that the level of difficulty that Kyle Whittingham has to deal with, because when you're USC, you kind of have the pick of the litter. You have anything you want when it comes to being able to get the best. And this on3.com has done this ranking of the Pac-12 quarterback or coaches, excuse me.
Well, it's horrendous.
And Lincoln Riley's number one.
It's horrendous.
And so
horrendous.
This is the guy who, like, Kyle Whittingham owns Lincoln Riley currently.
Alex, this is horrendous. This is horrendous, Alex.
Why?
Because
he's
kind
of considered one of the best coaches who's never won a title.
Best coaches are for what? Like, who cares? like, okay, fine. Why does he have to get put up there in a place where he's a guy that has never won he's this great coach. He's not a great coach. He's a great offensive coach, but he's not a great coach of an entire team. USC had a cupcake schedule last year. They didn't play anyone. The only teams that they played that were good, they lost to.
But they did improve their win record
I don't care about
four games to 11.
Who cares about it? Yeah, and they had Caleb Williams. like if you have a great quarterback, you can win a lot of games in college football. Lincoln Riley can't win a big game. You cannot in a million years, if you're looking at the Pac-12 and go, there isn't even a coach close to as good as Kyle Whittingham today. Now, I'm not talking about potential. I'm not talking about down the road. I'm talking about what he's done in the Pac-12, end of discussion, period. Because I'll tell you, Lincoln Riley's not even number two to me. Not even number two. You know who's number two?
Who's number two for you?
He's not even number three to me. Kalen DeBoer is number two.
Washington's head coach.
He did a phenomenal job at Washington.
But a similar kind of situation where he goes in and he has an insane quarterback that he basically had in his back pocket to come with him, who he'd coached before.
They go from
4-11 wins also. Now, Washington is Washington.
They're one win away, Alex, from going to the college football playoffs. Well, at least playing Utah in the Pac-12 championship.
They were a top 10 team. They ended a top 10 team. I would even say Jonathan Smith might be ahead of him.
I'll tell you who I think is ahead of Lincoln Riley. I'm not a big Lincoln Riley believer. I think he's overrated. I think he's like Cliff Kingsbury at the Arizona. I'm not buying that there's a lot of substance there. I'm just not, because if there was, I mean, if you go to Oklahoma and you go to USC, like, it's going to be fascinating to see how he does in the Big Ten competing against Michigan and Ohio State. I think it's going to be brutally hard. I think it might be hard to battle against Penn State. I'll tell you who's number three. Deion Sanders.
Come on.
I'm just telling you, you watch and see what happens.
You can't rate a guy just off of the fact that he is like, he's got a lot of excitement surrounding him.
I mean, On3's doing it. They're doing it off of what Lincoln Riley did at Oklahoma, which is nothing.
Where did they actually put Neon Deion, though?
Deion 7. I mean, it's pretty respectable.
I was going to say, that's actually pretty high for a guy who just showed up.
Chip Kelly, Dan Lanning at Oregon, Jonathan Smith, Caleb DeBoer, Kyle Whittingham, and Lincoln Riley are above Deion. And I'll just tell you right now, Deion Sanders believes he's the best coach in the Pac-12.
Where was lightning round Troy Taylor? One shot round. Well, I mean, you had him for 1 second, and then he goes, "Nah, I'm out." And then he leaves, goes to Sac State, has success there at the FCS level, as he had had at Eastern Washington.
Signed a 10-year agreement at Sac State.
So now he's the head coach at Stanford. Where is he on this list? I haven't looked.
Okay.
I'm not going to look. I've seen the top five, but I was like, okay.
All right. He's 11 of 12. Is he too high?
Who's underneath him? Is it Justin Wilcox?
Nope.
Yeah, because I think Justin Wilcox is a better. I mean, we just don't know about Troy Taylor. How is
Kenny Dillingham is 12?
Why? Because he's so young.
There's no way in the world right now I believe Kenny Dillingham is the 12th best coach.
I think that Troy Taylor is hamstrung by the fact that
Troy Taylor's 12.
I think he's hamstrung by the fact that Stanford feels like they don't care at all right now about football.
So Jed Fish is 10.
He should be higher.
Justin Wilcox is 9. See, I'd flip those. I would put Wilcox at 10.
Yes.
Dillingham at 11 and Troy Taylor at 12.
So, Jake, you got to be careful not to just rate the programs overall, though. Because,
well, the coach is a reflection of the program.
I agree.
The coach is the program. The head coach in college football, that is the program.
Well, that's why for sure Lincoln Riley shouldn't be number 1.
Right.
Because what they're doing is totally forgetting the fact that this is like the worst defense in the pack, dude. Like,
that's my whole point.
So bad.
And are they really going to get a lot better?
They give up 40 points automatic to teams that are even close to being as good as they are on offense.
Okay. So here's what happened. Okay. He flipped the five-star corner. This is Dion.
Okay.
From Miami. He adds 11 Power 5 transfers.
Okay.
Colorado has the 16th ranked class.
That's crazy.
In the country in 2024.
But again, you haven't seen him coach at all at this level. So I think that putting him at 7 is a little
actually
high.
You have, because all you have to do is go on YouTube and there's about 400 Deion Sanders. No.
Him talking in coach speak and platitudes to his team about we're going to work hard. Can I get an amen? You know, like there.
It's what, not working hard. Like he's like, so he. It was fascinating. He was on this podcast with Fred Taylor and Ryan Clark. Okay, and they're showing the podcast, and so he's a guest on their podcast. And he goes, look, he goes, if guys are all about themselves, they're not about my program. My program is not an I program; it's a we program. And this
that's coming from a guy who was the number one I guy in the history of now, football, maybe.
But it's different. Deion as a player, as a teammate, was not an I guy. He was a promoter. He got the whole I. But I'm telling you, the principles with which he coaches and lives his life are amazing. Like, I've been so impressed with, and this is just Deion. I mean, he's with his team. He's in these team meetings, and he has this sweatshirt. He says, "I'm not hard to find. I'm right here." Like he's not hiding from. He is out front, and it's just. And I'm just telling you, these people are going. They've already bought into Deion Sanders. And that's what you got to have. You got to have people buy into what you're selling as a coach. And I think he's done a tremendous job.
Okay. So Dan Lanning's 5, Chip Kelly is 6, and then Deion Sanders is 7. Jake Dickert, I think, should be above Coach Prime. I think it should be Jake Dickert ahead of Deion Sanders.
No,
I don't care what
freaking
you. Yes, you, absolutely. Are you kidding? This is a guy who inherited the biggest freaking mess on the planet. Of a situation,
he's owned the Palouse. I like Jake Dickert.
And you know what he does?
I don't disagree.
He has a very similar style to Deion Sanders, which is just like he's up front. He is a forward facing guy. He is a type A personality. He inherited this program from Nick Rolovich and that whole saga. And you know what he did? He rolled in and he's been solid. If that's as good as you can do at Washington State, is you can be go in there and be solid.
I don't think Deion could go to the Palouse and be a coach.
I don't know. But, I mean, it's not like Boulder is some
but
shining
Boulder's
light
in
on
the Denver
hill.
I mean, Denver is a much larger metropolis than Eastern Washington.
Like, thank Colorado you know, should thank Cal, and they should thank Stanford, because we're talking about those two teams being worse than they are. Right? That's the only reason, because Colorado's been the biggest joke over the past 5 years.
They've been horrendous.
It's like not, I mean, they belong
so,
nowhere
so let
near.
Me, okay, let me ask you a question.
Group.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. What would Deion Sanders have to do this year to elevate, like, what would be a phenomenal year for Colorado?
If he wants to be coach, if he wants to be the 7th best coach in the conference, he's got to win 7 games. That's my requirement.
So Colorado goes from 1-11 to 7-5 year one, and he's not better than who?
He's not better than
Chip Kelly?
He's not better than
come on, Chip Kelly.
Jonathan Smith.
Chip Kelly has not done.
Jonathan Smith inherited a 2-10 team, right? And then he's brought them to not just a respectable level, they're going to be in the conversation next year. They are a dark horse, ruin your season Pac-12 team.
All right, so give me your top 5, and then I want to give you my top 5. Coaches.
My top 5 is Kyle Whittingham.
Okay.
I'm going to say Jonathan Smith ahead of Kalen DeBoer, because we only have 1 year of
Kalen DeBoer.
And I think that Michael Penix has been – and that's a lot to do with Kalen DeBoer,
and they,
obviously.
They landed a big-time player at Oregon State.
So, yes.
In DJ.
DJ Ungalele, yes. I think Jonathan Smith has done more with less. I mean – Jonathan Smith feels like a poor man's Kyle Whittingham.
Jonathan Smith is a no-name guy too. I mean,
yes.
Deion has a lot of cachet, and he can pull a lot of strings just because of his celebrity.
I'll go Kyle Whittingham.
Okay.
I'll go Jonathan Smith. I'll go Kalen DeBoer after him.
Look at you.
I'll go Dan Lanning, and then I'll go Lincoln Riley. That's my top 5, because I think Lincoln Riley's better than Chip Kelly. I don't think he's better than Dan Lanning necessarily. Dan Lanning Everybody saw him lose, what was it, 49-3 or whatever it was, or 51-3 against his former team, Georgia, the very first game of the year. And then after that, they were
Oregon has superior. Recruited well.
Yes, and then they've continued the recruiting thing, even though they were falling off of the planet when it comes to their popularity compared to and I think Chip Kelly should be at that sixth spot still. And I still think that Jake Dickert should go ahead of Neon Deion. So there you go. Right. I'll put Deion Sanders at 8 just because the people behind him are absolute messes right now in their
programs. Kyle Whittingham, number 1.
Okay.
And I you've sold me on Jonathan Smith.
Yeah.
Less with more.
And you love it too because he's a quarterback, he's an offensive guy.
And I'm going to go I'll go Deion number 3. I'll go DeBoer 4. No, I'll go DeBoer 4 and Lanning 5. And I'll go Lincoln Riley 6.
Now, did you put Lincoln Riley at 6 because of your hate for USC, though?
Yeah, I'm biased.
1,000%.
Let me own up to it.
Okay. Now, what happens this year when they go to the college football playoff? Okay. Where do you put him?
There is not a program that's even close to USC in the Pac-12. Not even close.
In terms of?
In terms of the USC should be one of the top 3 programs in the country.
Every year.
End of discussion.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to get out of their own way. They really don't.
Well, certainly he's kind of getting them back into that, right?
Yeah.
So what does he do
It was a massive hire for them, for the Pac-12. It was beautiful.
If they would have beaten Utah in that Pac-12 championship, they would have been in the college football playoff. So they were a win away from being in the college football playoff. Utah was not a play away from being in the college football playoff. Or a win away. So if they get to the college football playoff this year, would you relinquish that spot to number 1 for Lincoln Riley?
No.
Okay.
I'd tell him goodbye because you're no longer in the conference. So you're not even going to get a vote in the future.
So then you go, wait, who is San Diego State's head coach? Let's get them in.
Kyle Whittingham has absolutely 1,000% deserved to be the top coach in the Pac-12.
Okay.
You go to the Pac-12 championship 4 of the last 5 years? Yeah, come on.
I agree. All right, we'll come back. We've got our medical minute coming up. You don't want to miss that. We also we just have tons to talk about. We have our What Are the Odds around the corner as well. So stay with us, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
What are the odds?
Okay, sir, the bet is to you.
All in, baby!
You'll know exactly. More or less.
What's going to happen?
This is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Unrivaled 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Hey, isn't it Team 49 Tuesday? We doing that? We got some tickets to give away for Jazz, so stay tuned. We'll give away some Jazz, I think Lakers tickets for next week. Whoa!
Ooh.
Settle down. So stay tuned. We'll give those tickets away. In just a little bit. What are the odds? Goes like this. Scott, I give you a scenario. You give me a 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. Brought to you by the folks at RGS Exteriors. Give your home a new look this year and get Tim Brown and his team working for you. Stucco, brick, vinyl, James Hardy siding, whatever you need. RGS Exteriors. 801-280-3110. RGS Exteriors. Scott, what are the odds that the Jazz, with 7 games left, are able to run down that 10th spot in the playoff play-in? They're 2 back from the 10 from that 10th spot with 7 games left, with a pretty tough draw in front of them. So what are the odds they actually do make a play-in game? It'd be just like this freaking team to do it too, right?
I'm going to say that the odds are the NFL has allowed the number 0 to be worn. So I'm going to say whoever is number 0 going forward in the NFL. Calvin Ridley, 0.
Oh, yeah, because he just, because he can be 0 now.
Yeah,
Ridley's the first one to do it.
Calvin Ridley, 0% chance the Jazz are going to make the play.
There you go.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I'm going to give it a Jim McMahon 9%.
Yeah.
Because I could see him still fighting at it.
I can see him fighting. They just play too many good teams. They got to win probably 5 of the last 7.
All right.
Can we do the last one, though? I want to do
one. Oh, what are the odds that the Utes beat USC for the third straight year?
Mexican soccer player, 100% that Utah is going to beat USC. They own USC.
I told you, my kid plays lacrosse, and they were playing some team from Park City the other day, and they had like six guys who were wearing 107, 104. Yeah. I was like, I like that. So let's go. I'm going to go with a Park City junior lacrosse 106% chance, just to pile on Lincoln Riley.
Right. I love it.
I mean, that's not living in reality, but if I was going to get my real pick,
my reality,
it'd probably be like a, I don't know.
Hey, our show is opinion. Okay, that's my opinion. My opinion is,
I'm going to give it a.
You stink, and I don't like you.
Carl Mecklenburg 77% chance. I'll go a little bit less than 100. All right. Let's take
such
the break.
A panderer.
I know. No, I'm just trying to be real, man. You can't give it a 100% chance.
I can't. Oh, too.
You're a panderer. You're giving a 100% chance that the Utes are going to beat USC down at the Coliseum, a place they've only won one time.
But they have won one, and the quarterback that won the one is still there.
He's still there.
And so is the coach.
Yeah. He also lost one there, didn't he?
No.
Oh no. I guess he played at home.
Yeah.
For the other ones. All right.
Back in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, and you. Thanks for tuning in to the program. Oh, Scott's old buddy Frank Reich up on the TV talking about what he's going to do in Carolina.
What quarterback are they going to take?
I mean, obviously, you quarterbacks, Scott, have your thoughts on who you want. So, us thinking that it's just going to be C.J. Stroud automatic, they're showing all these these Bryce Young clips on how good he is. So Frank Reich has a decision to make here, man.
Yeah.
Because he's actually missed pretty badly on these last couple quarterbacks.
It's been a tough road for him.
Teammate, Frank Reich.
Frank's awesome. You know, I was thinking about Lamar Jackson, speaking of quarterbacks, you know. Maybe some of these teams are holding off on Lamar and waiting for the draft. I mean, because the Colts have expressed some interest, but they have like the fourth pick, I think. And it's like, would you want to give up the fourth pick in the draft? And maybe they go, let's get a good draft, then go out, make a trade for a quarterback and give up a future draft pick. Maybe we give up next year's number one down the road. But, you can make a big move if you're the Colts.
Joining us right now. As we're jumping in here.
No thought about that at all.
No, because we got to get to a guest here.
No, I know.
We'll get to the NFL roundup later.
Oh.
I promise.
All right.
Man. All these quarterbacks, man. So much to talk
about.
Well,
you're talking about quarterbacks, and so I mentioned a quarterback.
I know. We got to talk to a guest.
Let's
get to the cut. It's how we start off every hour. Jake Shapiro is going to join us from DenverSports.com. Here we go.
There we go. The other question. Undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut. Presented by G2G Bars, all natural ingredients, no preservatives. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. There you go. Give them a shot. Refrigerated section at Costco, Associated Foods, etc. Jake Shapiro, DenverSports.com. He's been on the program before talking about the hottest team in the Pac-12 right now, or at least the hottest coach in the Pac-12 right now. So hot. Coach Prime, Jake, what has he done since the last time we talked to you a few months ago that is just still turning heads there in Boulder?
So hot, the hottest team in the Pac-12, as you mentioned, that I just wrote a story for DenverSports.com, and I am not even kidding you, that Deion Sanders says he's going to coach in tank tops and sleeveless next year.
Hey, there you go.
Tank tops? Is that the wife beater kind? What do you mean tank tops?
What are you talking about?
So he posted on Instagram a picture of him at the school cafeteria, the nice little football room they got, and he said he's eating healthy because he plans to go guns out on the sidelines.
Okay.
So It's undefined what he means, but it looks like he'll be showing some skin again. I mean, we've seen Deion topless before back in Sports Illustrated back in the day. So, I don't know.
Hey, see, listen. Deion was never a guy you'd go, oh, boy, look how strong.
How ripped he is.
It's more like don't throw a deep out against it like right. that. And that had nothing to do with his look. It's just like this dude is super fast
and I'm
very athletic.
I'm all about him wearing, the tank top on the sidelines in August, September, October, even maybe into California. Now, the real test is going to be when he comes here to Salt Lake and he's wearing the tank top in November. Yeah. That's where it's going to be a real test.
Then we'd be impressed.
Yeah, there's no way that's happening. Although he has said over and over again, and as you guys know, because we got similar climates, the cold in Denver and in Salt Lake this time of year isn't the same type of cold that they're used to down in Texas and Florida. And he's actually been using this as a recruiting pitch. He's like, come to Boulder, 30 degrees. It's actually hoodie and shorts weather. It's not as bad as you think, which has been a funny thing. But a lot of the talk has been around what's been worn so far at spring practice because, and I'm not sure that you guys have seen this, but or it's gone really national, but Deion has stripped the entire roster of their jersey numbers.
Yes.
Every single player, and is making them earn their numbers. Which is really interesting. And obviously there's some guys that have been holdovers. There's his son. There's some big-name players. And you can buy jerseys now, players. So if you wanted to buy a Shedeur Sanders jersey, he's going to be the starting quarterback in Boulder, you might want to wait because you might not know what number he's going to wear.
So we had this discussion earlier about the ranking of the top coaches in the Pac-12. And I'm curious what your feeling is about where Deion Sanders, who hasn't coached in the Pac-12 yet, where do you think he ranks among coaches in the Pac-12?
Well, and this is an interesting question because everyone keeps asking me, do I think Deion Sanders will be successful in Boulder, Colorado? And I always keep saying, what do you define as success? Because you could make the case right now that he's the most successful coach in the Pac-12 simply because he's made Colorado relevant again after years of irrelevance. And will that success still be success, even if the Buffs only win 4 or 5 games, but then it turns into something in a year or two from now? I'm not sure. Obviously, Kyle Whittingham's unbelievable at his job. Lincoln Riley, what he's already done at USC. Chip Kelly's had a great career. So there's coaches around the Pac-12 that, garner the respect and have obviously won more games than Deion Sanders. But if we look at this from a national perspective, who are the name brand coaches, the coaches that can walk into a living room and you recognize it's Saban, it's Kirby Smart, and it's Deion Sanders. Like, he's in those Allstate commercials.
So I grew up watching, Cordell Stewart, bring some fame to this program. This is a national championship winning program, and that's not insignificant. People carry that forever, and trying to get that consistency from their most successful era. Where is the fan base right now with Colorado? Obviously, they get excited about Coach Prime, but is this a football town still?
So I grew up in Boulder. I was born in 95. So I come into memory of like what stuff is going on around 2004, 2005. The Buffs have been to 2 bowl games the entire time I remember watching college football, and they have not won one. So a lot of people my age, and I'm 27, do not know anything about Colorado Buffaloes football, including the recruits and the players on the team currently. But obviously I've understood the history. I've talked to some of the older players, and I get it. So this program has been a dying program. It's been completely dormant for years. There's very little energy around the program. And I was at a game in college where there were so few fans in the stands during a double overtime game that the fans were moving the entire sections of fans were moving from end to end as the overtime's gone. So that's the atmosphere that Deion Sanders is walking into, okay? The spring game is sold out, guys. They sold tickets, $10 a pop to the spring game, and it sold out. So the fan base is going crazy. My fiance's sister, who doesn't even really care about any of this, is like, hey, should we go to the spring game? I'm like, what are you going to see? It's the spring game. They play each other. Like, nothing happens at the spring game. This is the talk of the town, guys. Like, we hired Sean Payton as the Denver Broncos head coach out here. We got Russell Wilson. We've got an amazing basketball team, maybe the MB3. We've got an unbelievable hockey team that won the championship. All of that does not matter in comparison to Deion Sanders this year.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. It's hard to explain the energy around Denver, around Boulder, with the Colorado Buffaloes. It's just it's like the Kardashians, the Sanders family. Every time they're anywhere, people care.
I want to go to the spring game now. I'm like, when is the spring game?
The black and gold.
Actually, what is happening in spring football? Shedeur Sanders is the quarterback. What's the expectation from him? How has he been doing? What's been going on in spring football?
Yeah, and we'll really know, by the way, on the spring game because it'll be on ESPN. It's the only spring game being broadcast on ESPN. That's next month, which is, again, crazy. Georgia didn't even get main ESPN. They're getting ESPN, too. So Shedeur Sanders is expected to be the quarterback. Travis Hunter, who is the big-name player coming to Colorado, five-star recruit, flipped from Florida State, Deion's alma mater, to go to Jackson State, had a really good year as a two-way player, suffered some injuries, but overall pretty good year. So he comes into Boulder, and they tell him right now, focus on wide receiver, even though he's a cornerback. And the reason they want him to do this is to refine his skills as a receiver so he can even get better as a two-way player. Deion said the other day he can wake up out of bed and just know how to cover people. We're not concerned about his defense. They've got another kid, Jimmy Horn, who's going to be a really good wide receiver that they just picked up. He was the number one transfer player, I believe, in the country. And then they've got Cormani McClain, who they flipped from Miami. He's a defensive back. So, again, that takes off some of the pressure off Hunter. I told this to you guys before. These skill position guys, like, they're going to be names. Like, these are going to be some of the best skill position players in the Pac-12. The problem is Colorado is going to take some time in developing the line, the O-line, the D-line. They've got some really fast players at running back, wide receiver, but it's going to be about how quickly can they build up this offensive and defensive line. And the coaches know that.
We were wondering, too, what this the identity of a Deion Sanders offense is like. What is the kind of signature of what that offense? What can they expect out of an offense like that? Because I don't think a lot of people watched a ton of Jackson State games.
Yeah, and this is what's interesting because no one really knows what the identity of a Deion Sanders coach team is going to be. It seems like he's very open to new ideas, and he kind of wants to be the CEO of the program and let his coaches do what they do best. They hired as an offensive coordinator Sean Lewis, who was the head coach, I believe, at Kent State Akron. I always get those two confused. Excuse me, schools in Ohio, they get me. But he was a head coach at a D1 program, and they hired him away to be the offensive coordinator. Like, the Colorado Buffaloes are hiring coaches to be coordinators. That's crazy. He's a spread guy. It's going to be a lot of speed, it seems, and they're going to try and take advantage of that speed because that's what they do best. So we're going to see a different brand of football. I know that they've talked about getting Colorado a little bit back to the roots of what made the Colorado Buffaloes so great in the 90s. I don't think any team besides Air Force is really going to break out the option in 2023, right? So we're not going to see that, but I think we're going to see an interesting twist on the spread, and we're going to see some real running. Like, Deion's an old school coach. We think of Deion as this new school guy because of the innovations in the way football's evolved, and particularly around players like Deion with the personalities. But Deion coaches like he is Bobby Bowden and Bill McCartney had a child.
Wow. That would be interesting to see how that turned out.
I want to meet that child.
Yeah, no kidding. What's his Achilles heel? What's the one challenge that Deion has as a coach? Or Coach Prime has as a coach?
Coach Prime, yeah, he likes to be called that. I think the biggest challenge with Coach Prime with Boulder is going to be keeping the community in check, keeping everything, all the ducks in a row. Like I said, Colorado historically is a football school. It just hasn't been for a long time. And this is something that was basically doctrined by the university. They wanted to turn their back on the football program. They wanted to get away from the football program and some of the stuff that came along with it because there was so much scandal. So if this turns into as big of a deal as it's already started to turn into, at what point does the university either say, we're going to continue to support this, or we're going to back away from this? And is Deion Sanders that guy who's going to stay here and go through some of those problems? No one in their right minds right now thinks Deion Sanders is going to be here more than a couple years. But what if he is? Like, what if he is and Colorado is something for the future? Can the university back this football program? And I think that's the biggest weakness with both Deion and the football program moving forward is how sustainable really is this? Or is this a flash in the pan? Is this all just hype? But I do think ultimately in the world of NIL and transfer portal, you want the big name head coach. You want the guy who can light up a room. It's very important in both basketball and football to have that guy.
That is kind of one of those requirements in college football, of course, is like we talk about how much they want rah-rah guys and how much it works at that level. And what are the real aspirations for Coach Prime, though? Is this the kind of thing where he goes, I'm going to take that Florida State job in the future? Is that something that, you know, obviously he's right there right now, and I think last time people blew you up for saying that he'd be shorter time than maybe you would anticipate. I know it's crazy to think that he might not be wanting to spend the rest of his life in Boulder, but what are Coach Prime's aspirations, do you think?
Yeah, and it's interesting because he did buy a house. He seems very committed to Boulder, at least for the time being. But you mentioned Florida State, and he interviewed for the Florida State job a couple cycles ago, and I believe it was before he took the Jackson State job. He was very vocal at the time about how he was offended that Florida State would not give him that job. And I wonder how much resentment he may harbor for that. The school I actually look out for in terms of, well, if Colorado blows up, where does this go and where does Deion go, is Texas A&M. Because if Jimbo doesn't work out, they've got all the money in the world. And if Deion has a good year, we've already seen him get the talent. Texas A&M gets the talent, too. So you combine a school that already gets talent with a coach that gets talent, and maybe he can do something even more than what Jimbo did. So Texas A&M is the school I look out for in the long term, or I guess even 2 years out. But right now, I think Deion's aspirations aren't necessarily within the NFL like some people theorize. Like, if you look at Deion's age, he's quite old, actually, for a first-time coach at a major college level. So I don't see him going to the NFL. I could see him maybe following his sons like he has for their entire careers and becoming, you know, maybe someone who works for an NFL team but isn't necessarily the head coach, while his son, you know, he hopes will be an NFL quarterback. But I think he's really committed to coaching kids. Like, I don't think he wants to coach the NFL. Like, everything he's done post-playing career has been about mentoring young people from about age 13 to 20.
Yeah, I think he's been very clear that he doesn't want to go coach in the NFL. But look, these athletes, they're petty. I guarantee you he is not happy about Florida State, and he'll hold a grudge.
But it's fascinating, too, to think that there would be the possibility of him going just even one and done, Jake, if he has a successful enough season.
Well, it just happened. Mel Tucker just did it in Boulder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's not be crazy. Like, Mel Tucker was a coordinator at Alabama. Was a failed coordinator in the NFL. Worst defense I've ever seen the Chicago Bears play was under Mel Tucker. And then he comes to Boulder. Guys, you want to talk about being successful? Mel Tucker won 5 games in Boulder and got a sweetheart deal from Michigan State.
Yes, he did.
Like, that's success in Boulder. That's where we are as a football program. So what if Deion Sanders wins 6 or 7 games this year? Does a Texas A&M, does one of these big schools come a-knocking? Because, you know, it's the name and, look, oh, my God, look what they did with Boulder. Imagine a school that actually cares about football, they convince themselves.
You know, you mentioned at the beginning of our segment about all the actually great stories going on in the Denver area about sports. Is there what's a big deal? I know people were kind of giving Joel Embiid an issue for not playing against the Joker. What else is big happening over there?
Yeah, I was at that game last night, covered it for DenverSports.com. Wrote a pretty pretty harsh column about Joel Embiid ducking Nikola Jokic last night. I had a media member tell me it was the softest thing they've ever seen an athlete do. We had 3 reporters from ESPN in Denver last night. Everybody was ready for this. It was the heavyweight title bout, and one of the contestants didn't show up. So that was pretty weak. That's what is popping right now today. But mainly a lot of people are really interested in what Sean Payton's going to do with Russell Wilson and what's going to happen with this football team. And people are really excited about the Avalanche as they try to repeat. We're getting really close. The Avs are getting hot right at the right time. And I say all of this about all those 3 teams and some fun storylines going on guys, we're 2 days from opening day, and name a Rocky. Name a Colorado Rocky.
Wait, is Todd Helton still play there? What's
Man, it's rough.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, if you want to get rid of your baseball team, the folks here in Utah will probably take it.
They are jonesing for something here, another franchise here in town. Jake Shapiro, DenverSports.com, our sibling website over there across the Rockies. Thanks for being on the program as usual, Jake, and we'll chat with you again.
Anytime, guys.
There you go. We'll take a break. Oh, I've got some tickets, though, to do. Should we do the tickets real quick? Okay, let's do it. It's a Team 49 Don't Tank on Me Now, But Maybe It's Okay Tuesday. Caller number 12 gets tickets to the Jazz Lakers next week. April 4th, Lakers come to town. You could be sitting in a seat at that game and enjoying it, despite whatever the record might be of this team. They are exciting. So jump in, get yourself some tickets, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. You get a pair of tickets to the Jazz Lakers coming up on April 4th. Let's jump out to the phone lines right now because we have Jeff Donovan joining us. You've heard people talking about the...
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Kevin Durant making his home debut. Coming back from that the old twisted ankle. Is that what's going on? Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how they do. Will they automatically just take off, I guess, is the question. That Suns team. They looked tough last night without old KD.
I think the Suns are a scary team in the playoffs,
yes,
to me.
Yes, yes. It's wild, though, to think, too, you got like the Dallas Mavericks with Kyrie and Luka, and they cannot freaking figure it out.
Yep. Can't buy a
Hey,
basket.
What about Kyrie coming to the Jazz? What would that be like? A situation. Is that your Superman or your Batman or whatever you
well,
were talking
it's
about?
Well, it's a player like that.
I don't see the results from any team he shows up at. I mean, I know he won a title in Cleveland, but that seems like it was more LeBron's situation than it was Kyrie's.
You know, maybe you get to a point where you just hit rock bottom. You know, after a while, you just go, man, maybe I'm the problem. Maybe there's some.
Do you ever see Kyrie
contrition
Irving?
There, and he decides you to ever see, be humble?
Do you ever see Kyrie Irving admitting, you know, I think I've been the problem. I'll take any questions at this time. There's no way. All right. Hey, men, Ree Medical is Utah's only physician-owned and operated wellness clinic offering ED treatments that are discreet, non-invasive, and customized for you. Renew, restore, reclaim. It's ReeMedical.com, ReeMedical.com. Here's Mike Gundy and something he had to say, excuse me, about the current state of recruiting. And now you're limited in how many coaches you can hire, but analysts and coordinators of like, you
recruiting
know,
or
the outside, like, yeah, yeah, the periphery,
operations.
Yes, yes, all the stuff that isn't really on that assistant board, you can hire quite a few people. And boy, the SEC does it. Mike Gundy sees a massive gap, and boy, there is. Take a listen.
Are you going to have to expand recruiting staffs to
well,
have
we've got,
like
we've
a
got nine people now, and I'm a little leery of continuing to expand. I'm trying to catch where they're at in the SEC. They float between 24 and 32 is what I've been told. Now, I don't know that to be true. I would say there's a chance we might go to 12 to 15 at some point. It's just a massive amount of people that it's hard to keep up with.
It does mean more, though.
What's that?
In the SEC, it just means more.
Well, I mean, it's a whole different way. You know, it's coaches down there can't go grocery shopping. I mean, I grocery shop. People don't care. Down there, you don't go to grocery stores.
What is he talking about?
Well, there's Nick Saban's a superstar.
He can't grocery shop.
In Tuscaloosa.
Do you think that, you know who loves to go to the store?
He can't
though,
go to the Piggly Wiggly.
You know who loves going to Publix and still getting, and still gets the attention and loves it? Lane Kiffin. Oh, wow. Yeah, sure. I'll sign that. Like, Okay,
yeah, but that's like what? Oxford, Mississippi?
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, it's Tuscaloosa, Alabama, too.
Right.
You know, for
same city, just different Saban. State.
Yeah, and so I look at it and go, when he says that, they're between 24 to 32 recruiting coordinators. It sounds like how many scouts does an NFL team have? Like one that has their crap together.
Well, not every NFL team has the same scouting department.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
The
like,
Cincinnati Bengals, the scouts were?
They went on the cheap.
The coaches.
Right. So let's say somebody.
There's a national, like they had an NFL, like it's called the Bledsoe or something, and it's a group of teams that get together and they rate all of the players. And it's trying to kind of streamline and solidify assessing talent.
I've got the number. So the NFL scouts. Every team has 7 to 10 full-time scouts. When you're talking about the SEC having between 24 and 32 coordinators,
yeah, there's no way.
Okay, so Jeremy says Jeremy says he's got some info here on how Mike Gundy's trying to do the aw shucks, poor us victim mentality here.
Yeah, the truth seeker, Mike Gundy.
What is it?
Auburn has 11.
That's more than he's got.
But it's not 20 plus.
Not 20 or 30.
32. Do you think Nick Saban has 30?
I looked in their staff. Roster doesn't mention.
Right,
it
doesn't
analyst.
Have all that. Yeah, and you don't have to put
here's
them on
what,
there.
Here's what I think about a team like Alabama. You get to a point where it becomes easy, but I'm sure you have a lot of people coming to you. I really do. I'm sure that you have a lot of people. I think you could almost have too many cooks in the kitchen unless they all get real specific and they have, okay, if I'm a big time program, maybe I'm going to Florida, Texas, California, and maybe, you know, New Jersey is actually a hotbed for talent because there's no universities there that are really, I mean, there's Rutgers, but there, you do find kids out of there. But then you probably have where, you know, you have a national scout where all that person does is they go to all of the areas that, you know, they go to a place like Utah that has talent, but maybe not quite the numbers you'd find in some of these hotbed places. Or they go to, you know, Colorado or maybe Arizona or maybe Hawaii, some of these places that you'll find good players, and they found good players before. And Alabama has recruited players from these states. But it's hard. I mean, that's hard to put all your resources. You know, you put a lot of resources in a place like Utah, and what return do you get? But if you have one person that kind of oversees all that, and all they have to do is tell a local kid, hey, we're recruiting you. And that kid goes, ooh-goo and gaga, and they go, yeah, I'm going to go to Alabama.
Ooh-goo, gaga.
Seriously.
They don't even care. If I get an offer from Nick Saban, I'm going.
What? I mean, you know, I get it. It would be hard to turn down, but man,
what do you think the average salary? Local. What do you think the average salary is of a
for those people?
Of a full-time NFL scout. NFL scout.
A full-time NFL full-time scout.
Full-time NFL scout.
Probably $100,000 plus all of your expenses.
Average NFL scout pay is between $48,000 and $56,000.
Wow.
The top end is 77.
Are you serious?
According to this.
Wow.
That's
now that
why would you want to get
be
into
in the day, but I don't know that it's still the day. I don't know that I believe that.
Why would but let's say that's the case. I mean maybe there are some scouts, you know, out there that are getting paid more. But man, why does the NFL have to go on the cheap with those are the guys that have to hit the road too, man. Like they're out busting their tail and they're in, you know, Bismarck, North Dakota, trying to figure out if a guy is going to be good for their team that they could sneak in as an undrafted free agent. And, you know, eating at the local Wendy's, staying at the local La Quinta. Is that how you say it?
La Quinta.
All right. Anyway, Mike Gundy playing old poor pity me. We're just at Oklahoma State. We only have what did he say? They have 9.
Florida has 7. Ole Miss has 7.
Wow. So this is he's pulling the old Southern wool over our eyes. He's pulling that mullet over our eyes.
He has a beard now, so maybe it's that too.
He stays at a La Quinta.
He stayed at Holiday Inn Express last night. That's why he can lie to you today. Maybe Alabama does have 30. I could see them having 30. I could see Nick Saban not knowing any of their names.
I could see Georgia having a lot.
I could see Georgia having a ton. Kirby Smart, you know. But I could see them going, thanks for coming in. And then his secretary goes, Mr. Smithers goes, that's Homer Simpson, sir.
To everyone's defense in this situation, you're recruiting kids that are like freshmen in high school or even lower. So you've got to have a handle. You've got to have eyeballs.
You've got to have a good view of what it really is.
I mean, you're not being recruited just kids that are going to be seniors in high school. It's a
thing.
It's an involved process.
All right.
How do you project a ninth grader?
Yeah, you don't. I mean, you do now. What's funny is that remember when basketball started doing that? They started looking at seventh, eighth, and ninth graders, and we're like, that's insane.
A lot of these
players. Football will never get there. Well, we do now.
Right. But a lot of these players go, well, they were the first ones to offer me. They were on me early. And I think that's a big part of recruiting is getting on kids early and, you know. And then you dump them if they, you know, if they don't grow.
Well, and then they dump you when they're not starting immediately.
Yeah, there's a lot of dumping back and forth.
Who dumped who?
I got offers from like 12 schools.
You did?
No, and that's what these players.
Oh, they love to. Yeah, they love to go.
I got
blessed.
Offers here and here and here.
I love when they have like the copy paste thing. So blessed to have received an offer from this coach, and they don't say they want to go there. So thank you so much, Coach fill in the blank, for all the time you spent and for your recruiting. So blessed to receive an offer from fill in the blank.
Telling you, the first recruiting letter I got was from UCLA.
That'd be pretty cool to
see.
And
I thought that was the coolest thing in the world.
And back then, weren't the letters showing up to your coach's office and then they hand them to you?
Yep.
Yeah. I remember seeing those letters in my brother's room, you know? Having like these cool envelopes with like the insignia of like a football team, and you're like, oh my goodness, I think the coach licked the envelope himself. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's chat a little bit about something that with this FAU coach that has led his team to the Final Four. You may not know exactly what this team is made of. But you should have some idea what their coach is made of a little bit. So we'll roll that out, and we'll kind of figure out what Dusty May has done that has been so magical for this FAU team in the Final Four. I want to – it's a really cool story. If you want to stay tuned, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Let's give away some more tickets. Jared, what do you think? Jazz versus Lakers next week. If you haven't been to a Jazz game this year, or you have, we want to offer you up some tickets. Call number 12 right now to 575-ZONE. 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-9663. You get a pair of tickets to the Jazz and the Lakers on April 4th. Go check it out. Waning moments of this Jazz season here. So we'll see how they do. But Lakers coming to town, that's always a big one. So get your tickets. 801-575-ZONE. I do want to talk about Dusty May. Basketball coach of FAU.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine, hey, we're going to be talking about FAU probably on the show at some point this week. Insane. But they are making an improbable run, just like San Diego State's making an improbable run, just like UConn is, just like Miami is. No 1-2s or 3s in the Final Four this season. And Florida Atlantic has been this miraculous story. And Dusty May, their head coach. I wanted to roll out this story because he got offered this job. This job is his first head coaching job in college. He'd been an assistant. He'd done the high school head coaching thing. And he was very new in 2018 to this position. He's only been there since 2018. And he was talking about how interested, he was talking about something very interesting when he got offered the job. He was at a hotel. he and his wife were flown in and kind of shown around in Boca Raton, and he got the job offer. And so you're going, yeah, this is my break. But at the same time, he was like, this program is not really where I wanted to go. I guess it's a stepping stone. But he said he walked into the room after he was offered the job, and he started crying in this hotel room. And he told his wife, I just committed career suicide. Now, the interesting thing about this is that he said the reason that he thought that was because he thought he wasn't going to be good enough. He said, I'm not good enough to do this. I'm fooling these guys. Like, I tricked him in the interviews. Not that he lied, but right. That he was just like, you know, and what's interesting about this is that it's that imposter syndrome, right?
Yeah.
It's a thing that happens for so many people across whatever school at all ages too, where you just go, yeah, I've just been kind of faking it here. And then the reality is that he obviously had the talent. You don't in 5 years turn an FAU program into a Final Four team because you faked it, right? And so I just thought it was really interesting because he goes, I didn't want to take that job. He even called to see if there was a way he could get out of the deal.
Wow.
And the athletic director goes, give it a shot. We'll treat you right down here. And we think we're gonna build something interesting. And I guarantee that Dusty May didn't go, I'm gonna take you guys to the Final Four.
You know,
in an interview.
One of the things that a lot of people do these days, and a lot of young kids, for whatever reason, and they feel this pressure, is they don't want to go do something that they think they're going to fail at.
Right.
Like, they'd rather just not do it. Like, I can totally get this, like, anxiety or panic or, you know, fear, because I saw it often when I was coaching high school football, and you see it with kids today where they just go, I would rather just sit on the sidelines than actually go out there and fail. And
that's crazy.
You know, I just know when I had that moment in my life where when I went and played in the NFL, I was just like, I don't know that I can do this. And I just went all in. You know, I just said, here's my goal. This is what I'm doing. This is my chance. And I'm just going to go for it. And whatever happens, happens. And it was amazing. And I got so much from that experience that I never would have had if I would have cowered in the corner in fear that I couldn't have done something. Just go do it.
Don't you think, too, like, I mean, a guy like him, so he was actually, I mean, it's a roster full of a bunch of guys you don't know, obviously, like, because.
So was he telling this to people and publicly now?
Yeah, he said it. He goes, I didn't want the job.
Is it easier to tell now because he's, you know, going to the Final Four?
Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding?
A lot of people
wouldn't share that. I didn't want to be in Boca Raton.
Pretty honest, you know, opinion.
But it wasn't for the reason that you thought, maybe, that it was just like, no, I'm better than this place. Because you have some of that, too. He went, I think I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be a head coach yet. I guess they liked my resume, but I don't know if I'm ready, dude. That's amazing that and then he ran with it. Obviously. So I thought it was fantastic. By the way, he said that because people were asking, like, oh, you know, would some of these guys want to jump into the transfer portal and go to a bigger team? He goes, my guys are already getting text messages and phone calls.
I can only imagine.
But, like, that's illegal. And it doesn't matter to these guys. It's so crazy. All right.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keurig, Scott Mitchell, and you. Thanks for joining the program. If you haven't downloaded the new KSL Sports app, go ahead and do it. That's the place that you can stream the KSL Sports Zone all day long. And if you're using the old app, you probably already found out the old Zone app doesn't work. It blew up, and the computers blew up. And so
Better now you
got to get the KSL Sports app. That's where you can get everything. So,
hey, Alex.
What's going on, Scott?
Do you want to know what happened this day in history?
Oh, here we go. A little bit of
I'll have you guess, okay? I'll give you the year.
Oh, boy.
See if you can guess it.
Now, is it in the sports world, though?
This day in history in 1998.
What day is today?
Think of this time of year.
Yeah.
in the time of
1998.
In 1998, a rather significant event happened. I'm fine. Begging for more clues.
Yeah?
It did happen in the world of sports.
Okay. In the NCAA tournament?
This isn't 20 questions. This is history.
Come on. 1998. I'm blanking on it.
Wow.
Because it was, that was, 98 was post.
98, you were probably what, 2, 3, 4?
Listen, when we had Jake Shapiro on last hour, and he goes, so I was born in 1995, and all of us went, bleh.
And I was thinking 1995, I played against Deion Sanders, like I think it was when he was with the Cowboys.
Yeah, he would have been, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
That was that Barry Switzer season.
Yeah. So I'll help you out. March 28th, 1998, University of Utah beat the number one seed North Carolina Tar Heels to advance to the NCAA title game.
Somebody who knows a little bit something about what Coach Majerus was about, joining us on the program right now, he is Tim Lacombe. Tim, what's going on, man?
What's going on, guys?
Well, I know who Rick Majerus is, so you can you can share all your Majerus material with me, and I will greatly appreciate it.
Yes, we know who he is.
Yeah, don't do that nowadays in high schools, because everybody will look at you like you're talking about Gene Autry.
Gene Autry. Hey, he used to. That's like when my mom would be like, he danced so swell on TV.
Wasn't he like the singing cowboy?
He was a part owner of the Angels, don't you know?
Oh, that's right.
that's right. Tim, let's start first with March, because I know you watch this stuff and I know you watch this time of year. This Final Four is as insane as I've ever seen. It's certainly just on paper. You've never seen these high of seedings across the board. It's a year that no 1s, 2s, or 3s are in. Is it good for basketball to have like an FAU or an SDSU as a possible champion?
Yeah, I think for sure it is. In an age where it's pretty much anything goes, it's pretty crazy that these teams that were not, high power, not powers, not national powers, not anybody really talks about all the time. I mean, UConn is, you can argue, is a power with their history, 5 championships, but I think it's refreshing. I think it's out of the ordinary, which, when you think about March, the tournament's awesome as long as the upsets keep happening. And even when it kind of settles, it's still great. But the magic's in the upsets, and I think that's why this has been one of the best tournaments I've ever seen.
Do you think it's more a trend in how things are going, or is this just kind of just one of those fluky years, an aberration kind of thing?
I don't know, man. I think there may be a ripple. I do believe that, that what it says a little bit with teams, like Princeton, for instance, being able to win, and some of these schools that, again, aren't powers and are certainly on a totally different budget than Power 5 conferences, they had a lot of success because of, they're together. They've got familiarity. There's a culture there. I think that's probably what's going to be missing more than anything in the NIL day and age. It's going to feel more like a pro locker room. And, I mean, Scott, you could speak because you're into both college and pro locker room. But, I would imagine that the pro locker room's fine, and it's collegial to a point. But it's still that at a certain point it's business, right? And I think that's unfortunate. That's probably what college locker rooms are going to become more and more like nowadays.
I can't really talk about the locker room.
He's not allowed. He signed an NDA.
I wouldn't. There was business. So I'm not sure what business it was, Tim, but it was interesting.
But you've talked about that before and how wild it does get in those locker rooms and how, in the end, everybody's just like, they're their own business. They're their own person.
Oh, yeah.
And in some cases nowadays, these guys are walking around and they're worth a couple $100 million. And that's a couple $100 million business is one single dude walk around that locker room. Speaking of, just before we get on to the Jazz, I thought you'd be interested in this because Dusty May, the head coach of FAU, he talked about, and Scott brought it up, because, yeah, you don't bring that up unless you make the Final Four. He talked about how he was offered the FAU job in 2018, and he goes back to the hotel where he and his wife were staying while they were kind of trying to woo him while he was in town, and he started crying and he said, I'm a fraud. They want me to take this job, and I'm not good enough. And I thought, you know, that's such an interesting human thing sometimes, and especially nowadays, that you'll have people who'll be supremely confident in themselves, and then other people who go, I'm an imposter, and this guy's in the freaking Final Four now, 5 years later.
Yeah, it is, and I think the messages stay with it. You know, I think anything anybody does, the reality of life, and there's a great song by one of my favorite artists that probably nobody knows about. There's a guy named Bob Schneider out of Austin, Texas. He has a song called Making It Up. And basically that, hey, you know, our fathers, they just tried to figure it out. You know, we pass the knowledge we can along, but that is the nature, of life is figuring out how things are done and getting some experience. And if you just keep showing up, good things happen. I really believe that.
So we're trying to figure out, like, which way to lean with the Jazz here with the last seven games. Tough schedule, and they've probably got to win a majority of their games to even be considered to get into the play-in side of the NBA playoffs. I don't think that's a probability, but Alex and I played a game earlier, and I'm wondering if maybe you could give us a little your thoughts on some of the players for the Jazz and whether you'd keep them on the team and they're either a starter or a role player, or you would trade them, or you just cut them. So who are the players from this roster this year that you would actually keep on the Jazz next season, and they would be like starters or role players?
Man, you're not putting me in any kind of position there, are you?
it's just a game. It's just a fun thing. There's no pressure here. There's no wrong answer, Tim.
Play a game with 13 dudes' lives. That's not my job anymore.
Right.
That used to be my job.
Our show is opinion, Tim. Give us your opinion.
I will tell you, I think, and this is the honest truth, I think every guy on this team has improved their value. And in this year, I don't look at a guy and go, man, even where Doak didn't get a ton of experience last year, the last few games, he's actually really played well. And so I think what is the most important thing to talk about is that the Jazz have a chest full of commodity, be it really high level players or filler pieces to trades. They have a crazy amount of picks, as we know, 15 over a short period of time. And then certainly they have a crazy amount of cap room. So it's mind-boggling to me. And really, I think the crazy thing I learned this year is that Will Hardy can win with just about any lineup. Mm-hmm. You know, the tanking people have been pulling their hair out because – they're playing Chris Dunn, who, you know, they signed off the street, basically. Rookies like Johnny Juzang and Ochai Agbaji's coming through. And they're beating teams they shouldn't beat or staying in games they shouldn't stay in. So, long-winded answer to your question and totally to avoid the game. Because I believe that I have trust in this front office. And I think that there's been intriguing guys that I would love to see more of. And that's for the most part, I really like the young dudes on this team.
Yeah. And, you know, when you look and you go, oh yeah, I don't know if they have a future of being a role player, like the surprises that we're going to have in the off season, and it's going to be so much more interesting this off season to see. And which is crazy to think too, like that this off season springs so much hope versus last summer where, you know, everybody felt that despair after Rudy and Donovan, hit the bricks. And so I think that a lot of folks look at this year and they go, with what you know about Will Hardy now, because you didn't know anything before last year, with what you know about these guys who came in, it, like, reflecting off of that makes all of the moves that they can make in the offseason so much more interesting.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And we know so much more about this whole situation than we did. I mean, I still go back to JCW's when you guys passed the torch after your show to us, and we sat on our hands basically. And, you know, the Jazz kind of had to too, because they had no flexibility. And from that moment, obviously, Wasn't long after that, the trades happened. And, you know, then I talk about the kind of the floodgates open in all respects. So this team definitely outperformed most people's expectations. And then I think when you look at the individual, that's where it gets exciting. This last week, three rookies, Kessler, Fontecchio, and Ochai set their career highs in different games. And I just think, you know, this late in the season where guys are, you know, you really kind of earned your minutes, I think that speaks volumes. And then, you know, Talen Horton-Tucker continues to be really intriguing. So when I talk about the young guys on the team, you know, those are the guys, they're kind of getting the opportunity right now, and they're playing really well.
You know, listening to you talk about this season and describing it in a way that it was tanking on anesthesia was a, you know, just a brilliant comment and very apropos, you know, because it was very easy on Jazz fans to watch and cheer, and for so many reasons, for the coach, the players, and how, and I agree with you, all these players have definitely upped their game and really stepped it up big time. How hard is it now moving forward? Like, going, is there an unreal expectation for Jazz fans going into next season, or does it get easier from here because maybe you have identified a lot of pieces that fit in the puzzle?
So I think that's a great question. I think that, you know, a couple of things to unpack. That I think first and foremost, this team really, in the midst of a crazy transformation in the franchise, you know, trading away two all-stars who are beloved, and then, you know, and obviously Joe Ingles, who was just through town that everybody loves. I mean, he was gone. Quinn leaves. And, you know, you're just kind of, it's absolutely crazy. And with all that, then, you know, the verdict on the new jerseys and the new look is certainly not favorable, you know, across the board. So everything's just kind of a madness at that point. And then Team 49 takes the floor. And they start the season with this, you know, energy and enthusiasm and unselfishness and, like, desire to get better. And I think, honestly, in the midst of all that craziness, they just shut everybody up. Everybody just started wearing the hat and the shirts, and they're starting to go. And I think through the year, they've seen a guy like Walker Kessler evolve. They've seen Ochai's game evolve. They've seen THT go from a total unknown in a throw-in trade for Beverly to, wow, that dude can really play. And then Lowry Markkanen, you know, I think it's between him and Will Hardy, to me, the story of the year. Because those two guys, in my mind, have just been off the charts phenomenal. So, yeah, there should be a ton of enthusiasm. And I think the mindset should go from, you know, hey, we got to win it every year, pseudo win it, which, you know, now we know how hard it is. I think we need to go from that to we're building something special. And we're getting to watch it from the ground up. And I think as long as everybody kind of stays that course, you know, somebody said trust the process. I'm not going to say that. but enjoy it, right, because it's kind of cool to watch.
Tim Lacombe, you can hear him, of course, on the pre-half and post-game shows right here on the Jazz Radio Network. And Jazz tomorrow at the Spurs, and then they go up to Boston for Friday. That's quite a flip of those the couple of days there. So what happens in these games for the rest of this week?
Well, I'm curious to see, you know, Lowry came back and he struggled, just didn't make shots. You know, he didn't struggle. The ball didn't go in the hoop, to borrow Jim Boylan's phrase. But really to me, it's, you know, who's going to be available. How's his health? Because this is a tough stretch. I mean, San Antonio, you're going to, the team's not great, but they'll always play hard. And you're going to Boston, who you beat here, that'll be excited to see you. And, you know, then it's playoff teams all the way through the rest of the way. So I think that, you know, bottom line, it's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. But this team they've done fine with difficult. And they'll be up to the task, and it'll just be, you know, see if they have enough bodies to actually finish some of those games off.
He's the coach, Tim Lacombe. He's the best. Are you a business owner? You have better things to do than job hunt or scramble to find your next great hire. So let Spherion Staffing and Recruiting do it. Let Tim help you out. Visit online, Spherion.com/Utah. That's Spherion.com/Utah. I can get on there and look around then, Tim.
You're more than welcome. Jobs posted by area. We have five branches up and down the Wasatch Front. So, yeah, please check out the website. Have any questions at all, please send a message as well. Those come through, and we'll help you with anything you might need.
Can I call you personally?
He's trying to hook it up, man.
Yeah, man, we got to meet for lunch.
All right, let's
go. We
got
to go to one of your spots in Springville.
Yeah, hey. Yeah,
we got spots.
There's a Mexican restaurant down there that has, like, the Mitchell special.
Hey, Andy Reid just went to La Casita.
Oh, okay. All right, so it's made for everybody. They might have given his ear plate to him.
Is that the little place on the – just kind of sits off the side, cool little hole in the wall joint.
Yes.
Yep.
Dude, I found it. I love that.
Yeah, it's right on the way in.
We're there, Mitchell.
It's right on the way into Art City. So there you go. All right, Tim, thanks for
hanging
out.
I'll meet you at the border. Yeah, I'll meet you at the border. I'm coming from Provo. We'll have a little standoff.
There you go. Let's do it. Tim, thanks for hanging out, man. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
There you go. Tim Lacombe, the coach. You can hear him on the radio call, of course, or the radio pre-half and post-game. Right here on the Jazz Radio Network. Joining us right now.
Here we go.
Go get it. Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback.
Lewison!
And the other guy. On 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, as the voice said. Thanks for being with us on the show. Hey, if you have not done it yet, download the KSL Sports app. That's the best way for you to be able to stream the station all day long. Hook up the old Bluetooth to the car or those headphones and stream the station via the KSL Sports app. The old Zone app does not work anymore. You probably already found out. So tell your friends, KSL Sports app, that's how you get it. Or download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. Scott, it's our NFL Roundup.
Oh, boy.
So let's talk about this first. I was fascinated by a couple of things. I want to talk first about this Jordan Love deal in Green Bay.
Okay.
Now, it's interesting. I'm nervous about this whole thing with Aaron Rodgers. Everybody, just like yesterday, Robert Saleh going, yeah, I mean – what's his name? Zach Wilson, he's our for sure number two. I mean,
he's
awesome. He's going to be a great backup quarterback. Like, it just didn't make sense that they were, like, pumping him up as a backup. You don't pump a guy up, he's going to be a great backup quarterback. And that implies, obviously, that this Aaron Rodgers deal is going to get done, but it hasn't been done yet. And then Matt LaFleur is telling everybody, hey, listen, Jordan Love is not going to be Aaron Rodgers 2.0. You know, a la Baker Mayfield going, I'm not going to be Tom Brady. Well, number one, we know that. But what should the expectations be for a guy like Jordan Love who has sat behind?
Well, there's a couple things.
I mean, everybody looks at it and goes, same situation Aaron Rodgers has been with Brett Favre, so why can't we get the same results?
Well, here's the challenge, because every situation's unique, right? The Kansas City Chiefs just automatically, absolutely knew that
Mahomes
was the guy. Right, so they let go of Alex Smith. Thank you for the names, by the way.
We should hit that NFL head thing going on here.
And but they were confident in that, right? And but then you look at Aaron Rodgers, who's had a phenomenal career. Patrick Mahomes have had phenomenal careers,
right?
When and how they started, completely different. You would have, but there was one difference. Neither one of them started their rookie year. And I think that was a bit of a challenge, for Zach Wilson. And you wonder, have you damaged the guy forever? Now, on the other side of it, when you have Jordan Love.
Sure.
He's played before, right? And you go.
Yeah, kind of.
And you haven't got the warm fuzzies by him playing. You haven't got, nobody said, oh, boy.
Well, no one's excited when your guy gets hurt, when a halting quarterback gets hurt.
Here's the difference, okay? Well, no. Sometimes they are. because some guys come in and just light it up. And people go, hey, we got a guy here. We got someone who can really make this happen. No one knows about Jordan Love. When I learned how to fly an airplane, I was in the airplane, and I had an instructor sitting right next to me. Mm-hmm. And I never worried because he was sitting right next to me. He was the experienced guy. And I found out that I had to fly in the airplane solo, right? So the experienced guy got out, right? And everything changed for me. And that's kind of what you have to wonder about Jordan Love. When Aaron Rodgers is out of the way, because Aaron Rodgers is a figure, right? He's a guy, he has a presence. His presence has an influence on everybody with the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers completely moved. You might see a completely different player in Jordan Love. It's like, now I get to be me. I'm not this placeholder. I'm not expected to come in and look like Aaron Rodgers. I can become my own player. Some people will flourish in that environment, and some people might not. If your coach isn't like got the warm and fuzzies about you, it's like, because he's, you know, Matt LaFleur is kind of like, you know, we need to temper expectations here. That makes you a little bit nervous that maybe they don't feel like he's the guy long term.
Well, and I just think
if
that
the Packers
have to do,
are
like
really
do...
smart, Alex, they tank this year.
Huh?
They tank and they get Caleb Williams
in
the draft next year.
Could you imagine Caleb Williams in a Packer uniform?
And it's a possibility. I mean, I don't know how good the Packers are going to
be. Well, okay, so 3 years in the league. This was his – he just finished his third year, Jordan Love. Career stats. You ready for this? 83 passing attempts. He completed 50 of them. So 50 for 83, 60% completion percentage, 600 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Yeah.
It's a guy who – those are the numbers you expect from a person who sits behind Aaron Rodgers. And,
so
know,
none of that means anything to me.
So what means the most then? So what?
Nothing at this point.
You just go – the only thing that matters now is this is your first year
as a quarterback.
How
does this guy go into a training camp, go into a season, and just go, you're the guy moving forward indefinitely?
Okay.
I think it's different when you don't have your instructor looking over your shoulder. Because you have to, you take off on the ground, guess what? You got to land the plane on your own. There's no one there to do it for you, so you better figure it out.
So Ron Rivera says the Commanders are confident in their quarterback, Sam Howell, out of North Carolina.
Don't believe anything a defensive-minded coach does.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So this is like a lie detector test right here?
Every defensive coach, I don't trust any of them in their evaluation of a quarterback.
Well,
None of them.
Well, I think that his evaluation or not, him saying that they're not interested in pursuing Lamar Jackson is probably true, right?
Well, I mean, here's the problem with Lamar Jackson.
Why wouldn't you want to have Lamar Jackson over a guy who really never had play?
Okay, it's really simple. He has a special franchise tag, right? And that comes with special compensation. So the Ravens are going to get multiple first-round draft choices. And
really? That's the compensation you got to give?
Yeah. It's like, okay, you want a special franchise tag? We're gonna get a Herschel Walker deal for you.
Okay.
Now there may be some guys you go, you know what, that's worth it. You know, if you get a quarterback, that might be worth it. But here's the problem. Now you get him, you're Washington, you get him, you've just spent $6 million to buy a team. Now you gotta fully guarantee a dude.
$6 billion, right? You said billion, didn't you?
Yeah, $6 billion to buy the team, right? Because
that's what
they're asking about, yeah. And there's probably going to happen. But you have Lamar Jackson now, who's his own agent. Go, okay, fine. You traded for me. Now you got to sign me to. Otherwise, I'm a free agent again. So we got to work out a contract. No team's going to give up the ranch draft picks, and no team's going to guarantee him $250 million. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to do that. So Lamar, it's as if Lamar Jackson, now if he kind of reduces his contract demands, but why would you go to the Washington Commandos? You'd want to get everything you possibly could out of them.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a new ownership group is different. I don't know.
So have you seen, I mean.
So
I,
it's he's in an impossible.
Yeah.
Everyone's in an impossible situation with him. Everyone is.
Hey, let this be a lesson to you out there, kids. Get an agent. This could have all been mitigated by getting an agent probably a couple years ago.
Well, it's if you don't want to be in Baltimore, then you have to be willing to have some concessions on your contract demands. And if you want to be in Baltimore, you have to have some concessions on it. And all he's saying is, Deshaun Watson, who I know I'm better than, I've proven more in the NFL that I'm better than, I want his deal.
Well, the guaranteed money is another question. And I thought this was hilarious. This is chalk this one up to your Captain Obvious or your does a bear poop in the woods metaphors. Colts owner Jim Irsay says he doesn't want fully guaranteed deals. No crap, dude. Like, you guys don't want it. The owners don't want it. The owners don't want guaranteed deals creeping into the NFL. And we've already kind of broken that seal, right? Although, I don't know. What's been interesting is that it was the wrong guy to break that seal on the guaranteed contracts, because if it was somebody who was a guaranteed, like, if it was somebody who didn't have baggage attached to him,
right,
who didn't have any issues, then it would be a lot easier to make that negotiation happen. But $230 million, and if it was a different organization besides the Browns, we would also go, so you have two things going on. That's a dumb move for that player, and that's a dumb franchise. We already know those things.
Think about the NFL in maybe the last, I'll just say 15 years. Tell me a quarterback who's an elite quarterback who's played in the last 15 years who's had a career-ending injury. Who has it been? Maybe Alex Smith?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like one guy out of, I mean, there's 32 teams over 15 years.
And even then, he kind of came back still.
And he still came back.
Right.
But then there's maybe Teddy Bridgewater, who maybe he might have been. Who knows if he would have been an elite guy or not? I mean, and Alex Smith is not an elite superstar. I mean, he had a really good career, but I'm talking about so the way the league has changed. Why not guarantee a quarterback? The odds of a quarterback actually having a permanent injury are not that high. They're just not.
So it's a pretty good solid deal. It's actually a solid deal to get somebody
signed
up.
Wide receivers the same way. I mean, there may be more challenge for a wide receiver
than it would be for a quarterback.
Than for a quarterback because you're running and cutting more and you know. They just don't touch quarterbacks anymore.
Speaking of quarterbacks, give me a Trey Lance. Like, what's his deal? I mean, Brock Purdy's going to be the guy there. And then we're never going to hear from Trey Lance again. He might get traded.
No, Trey Lance will end up being the future Geno Smith.
Ah,
maybe he goes
comeback
somewhere.
Player of the year in 7 years. Let me bring this up before we get out to our final story here in the NFL Roundup. So this is wild because the NFL, when I was growing up, like, they stayed so far away from betting.
Yep.
It was crazy. And when you played, it was like, you can't even mention the word gambling. You can't even mention the word, line on a game.
You can't even mention
stuff.
The word, I don't feel 100% this week.
Right. That's
like, you don't
that's
talk to anyone, like, about anyone on your team,
yeah.
Nothing.
So the NFL has embraced betting, right? Online stuff and in Vegas and everything. And
that's why all these teams are worth billions of dollars.
So the NFL is taking a cut. But now they're going to allow in-stadium sports books to operate. This is, like, in the States, it's legal. You're going to have sports books inside the stadium. It's like a horse track. It's like they're going up there making your prop bets at halftime, dude.
Well, we shouldn't be surprised by this, but there's applications out there that we know of that would actually, one, you could bet maybe before the game. You could maybe bet at halftime, maybe at a quarter. You could, through the app, you could bet every single play.
Yeah, you could already bet in the stadium on your phone.
You could sit there and bet. You could sit there and bet every single play.
There are guys that are just going to buy a ticket to go to the stadium, and then they'll sit at the sports book in the stadium and make bets. You know, there's some degenerates like Jeremy out there.
Why not? Why not
in the stadium?
No, but why not send a? You could buy a social membership to a stadium instead of a ticket to a game.
Right, and you go straight to the sports book,
and you're allowed in the club. You're not allowed in the stadium,
Scott.
You just go sit there. You think about the revenue, like, and it's $50.
Oh yeah, $80 to get into the game, and plus all the bet, and then you get a $10 voucher for your first bet of the day or whatever. My heavens, we've got this figured out. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We have our 2-minute drill when we return. So stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled
with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, folks, welcome back. It is Unrivaled 97.5D, KSL Sports Zone. Scott Mitchell and Alex Geary, welcome back, and thank you for joining us. Of course, you know what that music means. It's late in the day, so we got a lot to talk about, but not all the time, so we're going to hurry up and talk a little bit about a lot of things, and we'll go from there. I know this is a shocker to you, Alex, but Ben Simmons shutting her down for the season. Got some kind of back issue.
We were talking about this earlier.
He's got a front issue, too, though.
He's like, got a top issue, yeah.
Cannot make a
up
basket.
Up top.
Yep.
So somebody actually posted online. I actually felt bad because I don't like Ben Simmons that much, you know, but I mean, he's not my favorite person. But at the same time, you don't like – I know, but when somebody's dealing with obviously something that's more significant than just actual pain of of an actual injury, it's something going on in his head. I feel bad for him because – There was somebody posted a video and they go, "What happened to this guy?" And it was just play after play from when he was a rookie in his second year as well. When he was just crazy. He was this 6'10", you know, able to dish the ball and like wasn't scoring a ton of points every game, but that wasn't the point. He was just going in there. He was like a 16, 12, and 8 kind of guy, and just was and was a terror on defense. But he was also running the point sometimes. Anyway. They're showing the video, and he was just going to the hoop with confidence and just dominating guys. And nobody knows where that guy went.
Isn't it fascinating how when you lose it in your mind, like it's
everything just, else follows.
It's almost painful to watch, like Talon Horton Tucker shooting free throws.
Oh,
like you could tell it was all in his head. Now that guy, you know what he's got to do? He's got to go back and he's got to reset his brain. Got to shoot a million free throws. He's got to figure it out, you know, and it's just like. And you just start missing one, and then it just snowballs into a brutal thing. But it's a really good example of how powerful our brains are and how much they impact our performance, whether it's in sports or in our regular life. It was funny. I was talking to someone about this the other day because you know what I wanted to major in when I was in college? Sports psychology. Like there was a long – because I go, this stuff's about 100% in your brain and about 10% physical, right? And it really is. It's just. But it's a sad deal when folks just get all up in their head.
So I saw this one and I thought, "Ooh, I love this. I love it. I love some drama." But it's also business too. I mean, the PGA Tour has moved their events that were at any of the Greg Norman designed courses to Tiger Woods courses now. Now, I don't know, if you play at a course that's a Greg Norman course, so to speak, does he get a cut of money or something like every time they play there, or? Is that how's that work, or is it just designed by? Him?
I would think no. I think if you own the course and someone wanted to use your course for a tournament, they'd have to pay you a fee to
I don't think if he designed the course and got paid to design the course.
Well, I don't know if he owns it or not.
I don't think he owns these courses, right?
No.
Now that would have been awesome by him to go. I'm double dipping here. PGA Tour's paying me personally to use my courses, and so it was smart of them to move.
The PGA Tour is a jilted lover, man.
Oh,
they don't like anyone getting in on their deal. Not at all.
The old middle finger to
we will show you.
I love it. By the way, the Nuggets. There was a fan that made a missing person poster for Joel Embiid missing the game versus Jokic. Do you count that against him in an MVP race? Like people were saying, oh, you ducked Nikola Jokic, man. You ducked the reigning MVP, and so you can't be the MVP.
If you're Joel Embiid and you are looking to be the MVP, I think like a guy like Michael Jordan would go, okay, I'm going to show you MVP here, Joker. You think you're the dude, you know, here you go. And it just maybe feels like Joel Embiid doesn't care that much about it, you know. I who knows? I mean, you're seeing a lot of guys resting right now at the end of the season. With the playoffs coming up and just this final push, I as a fan would love this. And this is a sad thing that a player can actually go and do this, you know, for whatever reason. Because you want to see. I mean, this is that heavyweight fight. You want to see two great players playing, and it's a shame that something like that in the NBA isn't happening.
Let's take the long break here. By the way, our two-minute drill, as always, brought to you by the folks at Jerry Seiner Cadillac. Check out the bold new lineup of Jerry Seiner Cadillacs today. Definitely not your grandpa's Cadillac. Check it out. Test drive a new or used Cadillac at Jerry Seiner Cadillac. We'll be back. More to go. Stay with us. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right. This is a fun one for us. We've had him on for a couple of weeks here. And if you're looking for that employee retention credit, the ERC refund, Jeff Donovan is going to help you get that ERC refund. And we're talking about a limited time because this money will run out at some point. But Jeff, you've been helping people recoup this ERC money from those times during COVID for business owners who, you know, lost some revenue. They lost some contracts maybe with people who they were doing business with. All of these things, and maybe you didn't qualify before, you can still probably help people out who are looking for that ERC refund, right?
Yes. Thank you, Alex and Scott. Nice to talk to you guys. Yes, I can still help those businesses. If you're an employer and you have 10 to 500 employees and your tax professional and others have told you that you don't qualify because your revenue reduction wasn't great enough, you're in good luck, because if you have a supply chain disruption, you have products that you buy that you couldn't get during COVID due to supply chain disruptions nationwide, or your business was, your end users, their business was shut down, or maybe you had trade shows that you couldn't get to. All of these different ways are ways to qualify for the employee retention credit, and I can help you today.
So these are all kinds of businesses. It's potentially churches, charter schools, nonprofits. It's anybody who has at least one, two W-2 full-time employees, and you can receive up to $26,000 per employee. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And just a clarification, it's W-2 employees can't be the owners or their families. So it's usually about 5 or 10 employees or more, up to 500. And it can be, I mean, I've been helping manufacturers, distributors, retailers, garage door companies, appliance companies. I've been helping hotels, hospitality, reception centers, restaurants, retail stores, security companies, technology companies. I can help just about any organization they can qualify.
Yeah, and I think, Jeff, the good thing is just finding out, just asking the question, right? So if people want to ask the question and say, hey, maybe we do qualify. If you're listening right now and you want to give Jeff a call, Jeff, what number do they have to dial up to be able to get you then?
Give me a call at 801-895-3777. And if I don't answer, leave me a message. I'll personally call you back within one business day.
Jeff is going to help you out. You can get your ERC refund, and Jeff Donovan will help you recoup that. So many other people have done it, and you can find out. Just ask the question. Say, do we qualify? Maybe you didn't qualify before. 801-895-3777. That's 801-895-3777, and you can find out if you qualify for those ERC refunds. Jeff, we'll talk to you in a little bit. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you, Alex.
There you go. There's Jeff Donovan. 801-895-3777. That ERC refund. Okay. Let's take a break. When we come back, we've got more to chat about.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Our show, as always, brought to you by the great folks at G2G Bar. All natural ingredients, no preservatives. G2G Bar is perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. As we wrap things up here, Scott, the coach's annual meeting for the NFL is always kind of funny. And I think that they, like, I mean, I think it's just because we're removed a couple of months from the, or a month and a half or so from the Super Bowl.
Right.
And like, we just haven't talked about any NFL or like you, or talked with anybody from the NFL. We've been talking about the NFL, certainly, but like, this is your first time to really sit down with coaches and chat at their annual meeting, and they do not want to chat. And like Bill Belichick was like, don't ask me about some other player on another team. I'm not going to talk to you about it. And I thought it was funny because I read this article about how, oh, the Chiefs head coach Andy Reid didn't know who the Packers quarterback Jordan Love was. And they played this clip where this guy goes, yeah, have you been impressed with how Jordan Love's been developing? He's like, I'm not familiar. Who is it? And he's like, Jordan Love. He goes, ah, for the Packers? And he's like, ah, yes, yeah. Yeah, I don't know much about him. And
see,
that's
when you know you have a really good coach, where he's oblivious to everything outside of his own team. That's what you want. You want a guy that's just locked in, laser focused, and doesn't care about anyone else, anything else. Now,
but
he may also be in a position where these coaches are probably not supposed to talk about other players.
Yeah,
about it? They send a message like subliminal. You know, Andy Reid is blinking SOS messages to Jordan Love because he can't talk about him. I don't know.
No, but that's the part where I like go, Andy Reid didn't even know who the Packers quarterback Jordan Love is. I'm going, why does it need to?
No kidding.
Because he coached at the Packers a million years ago?
So
should know who all these. Oh, is it Utah State? Oh, wow. You used to live in Utah at one point.
Yeah, the quarterback for the Packers is Brett.
Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, Brett Rodgers.
That's all you need to know.
Bart Favre Rodgers. That's all you need to know. Okay, well, there you go. Andy Reid, you don't need to know who Jordan Love is. And I hope everybody finds out who he is, but my heavens. Don't put so much pressure on this kid. All right, for Scott, I'm Alex. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. It is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.